Good morning, everybody. It is so wonderful to see you here this morning. My name is Tim Park. I serve as our lead pastor. If this happens to be your first time at our church, we're just so glad you're here. And we trust that you will experience the warmth of Jesus in this place. You know, the last few weeks or so, it's been an adventure in our parking lot, hasn't it? What a fun adventure. And it's exciting. You see, because when things are kind of adventurous, it tells you things are happening and moving. And we're so thankful. We have a new paved parking lot with new striping. And we're just allowing a few more days for the new ADA parking spots to cure. And that's why we see the cones over there in that spot. We've moved a few of the ADA spots over there. And we're just so thankful for all that God is doing on our campus, throughout our campus. And so next Sunday, I think we'll have our full parking lot back. Yes, that's wonderful. Yes, you can clap for that. And the building just over there is coming along. You see the nice wide plaza area there. And so lots happening there. We had a crew here yesterday painting and cleaning, and we'll have more volunteers here this coming Saturday as well. So we're looking forward to the ribbon cutting of the new Children's Center in just a matter of days, weeks, and so we're thankful for that as well. Well, summer is winding down, although the temperature isn't coming down. So that means next Sunday, you and your kids will have an opportunity to cool down because we're going to have a giant water slide on our church campus. And I am told that this water slide will accommodate anybody, young or old. Okay. Now, after the age of the toddler stage, all right? But if you have toddlers, we'll also have a kiddie pool on campus as well. And so that's next Sunday after second service. We'll have a water slide for any of you who want to come prepared to go down the slide. I'll make sure that I have my camera ready. And there'll be a kiddie pool, and a light lunch will be served. And so we're thankful. We're thankful that we can end the summer season with a splash. Well, let's pray. That was a bad joke. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for all that you are doing in your church. You are an amazing God. You are an awesome God. And so, Father, I pray that today that we would be ready to worship you as we've sung in worship. Help us now to listen in worship. And not only to hear your words, but to heed them. Change us. Help us to be more like Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. For the last 16 weeks, we've been studying questions that Jesus asked during his time here on earth. And these are questions that Jesus asked his disciples, questions that he asked people in general, people who were curious about him, people who were amazed at his teachings. And also people who were critical of him, including the religious leaders. And we know that Jesus didn't ask these questions because he lacked the answers. We know that. He asked these questions in order to lead people to the truth. Today we're going to bring this series to a close with the 17th and final question of this series. Now, Jesus asked a lot more than 17 questions. A lot more. But these 17, they give us a good sampling of the kinds of questions that he asked so that he could lead us to the truth. And the 17th and final question is this, and it's the title of this morning's message. Are you building on solid ground? Are you building on solid ground? That's the title of the final installment of this series. And we'll be in Luke chapter 6, verses 46 to 49. And this question will actually lead us into our next series, which begins next Sunday. I'll talk more about that at the end of our time this morning. But are you building on solid ground? That's the question for us today. And so I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Luke 6. And I'll read to you verses 46 to 49. In verse 46, Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They're like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on a ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete." In this passage, Jesus compares two houses. And these two houses represent two lives. And the difference between these two houses or these two lives comes down to this one important distinction: the foundation. That's the difference, the foundation. Earlier this year, Joanne, Amanda, and I, we visited London, and we took a ton of pictures in London. And I want to show you all those pictures right now. Don't worry. But I do want to show you just a few, if you don't mind. All right? I want to show you the first picture here. This is known as Tower Bridge. Now, when people think about London and a bridge, they often think of London Bridge. But if you go to London, London Bridge is actually very boring. It's like there's nothing special about it. This is the most iconic bridge, Tower Bridge. And this is on all the postcards. And we snapped this photo from the ground level just on the other side of the river. And during the marathon, when I ran the London Marathon, we ran over Tower Bridge. And this was around mile 12 when I was still feeling okay. And so we ran over Tower Bridge. The crowds were just, it was deafening. Here's the next picture. This is Buckingham Palace. And this is where the royal family lives. And during the marathon, this served as a backdrop. We made the turn around that statue, and we finished just in front of Buckingham Palace. What a spectacular finish. Now, let's look at this third photo. Now, this third photo, I can't actually remember the name of this photo or this building. But here's the thing about this building. Even if you were to visit London, and if you were to look for this building, you wouldn't find it. Because it's not in London. It's in the back lot of Universal Studios Hollywood. Take a good look. This is in Los Angeles at Universal Studios Hollywood. I just pulled this from the website. It looks authentic. It looks like a real London square, but it's not. It's just an empty facade. Appearances can be very deceiving. In today's passage, you have two lives, but two different foundations. One looks real. When you just look at the house, it looks real. The other is. One just looks the part, the other is. Earlier in this chapter, Jesus warned about those who produce bad fruit, as opposed to those who produce good fruit. And here in today's passage, he drives home this point with a final comparison. It's not enough to hear the words of Jesus. True disciples act on them. That's the distinction between these two houses. In that sense, obedience is the dividing line. Obedience is the dividing line. If those listening to Jesus call him Lord, Lord, but then fail to acknowledge his authority through their obedience, then their response is ultimately empty. It's like that London Square building on the back lot of Universal Studios. If you were to open the front door, you would just see the backside, empty, facade. You know, a house is a powerful symbol. And Jesus uses this symbol because every one of us is like a house. Everyone is building a life. Every single one of us is building a life here on earth. And every one of us must decide what foundation to build that life on. Every one of us. And ultimately, there are only two options. You see, life is simple because it just comes down to this. We have one of two options to build our foundation. Build on the truth of Jesus and his words. That's one option. Or don't. Those are the only two options when it comes down to it. Build on the truth of Jesus' words or don't. Now, there may be an endless number of choices when we talk about houses, right? Styles and features. But the foundation question is very simple. Either we dig deep to hit bedrock, or we skip that step altogether. And in this account, we can assume that the houses are similar. In fact, let's say that the houses are identical. They're the same houses, and they're in the same location. They're side by side. And we can also assume that both houses face the same storm. In fact, I'm not going to stop there. I'm going to take it one step further. And I'll say this, that the builders of both houses both desire a fulfilling life. So you've got two identically looking houses. They're on the same street next to each other. The same storm comes, and both homeowners, they want a fulfilling life. From the outside, everything looks the same. Everything looks good from the outside. But the real difference lies deep down below, hidden under the surface. The wise builder, according to this passage, digs and patiently digs deep. The wise builder does not cut corners. The wise builder takes the time to do the job right. You know, I like watching documentaries. I love watching documentaries of all kinds. And one of the types of documentaries that I really enjoy are engineering marvels. I love watching engineering marvels. And I also like watching engineering disasters too. But so I really admire you engineers out there. I really do. I'm so fascinated by the whole engineering world. When engineers are brought in on a skyscraper project, they're not just focused on how the skyscraper will look on the day of the ribbon cutting ceremony. No, they are working to ensure that that structure will withstand earthquakes and high winds and storms, and that that building will withstand the tests of time. Take, for example, the tallest building in the United States, the One World Trade Center in New York City. It's an impressive building. Now, most people, when we talk about the One World Trade Center, we look up. But I want to focus on looking down now. You see, because if you were to study what's underneath the One World Trade Center, you would see the foundation piles extend 150 feet down below ground level. 150 feet, that's the equivalent of a 16-story building. So that's how deep the foundation piles or the columns extend below the One World Trade Center. Just a mile and a half away from the One World Trade Center is another high rise. The name of that high rise is One Seaport. One Seaport, just a mile and a half away from the One World Trade Center, is a luxury condominium complex, 60 stories high. And yet it's just completely empty. No one lives in that condominium complex. Why? It's leaning. It's leaning. This building, which began construction in 2016, 9 years ago, was never completed and never opened because it's leaning. And that's because instead of drilling down 150 feet below the surface of Manhattan Island, the developers chose an alternative method against the recommendation of the engineers. The developers, they wanted to save money, and by saving money, they cut corners and they just dug down 50 feet. And they thought, we'll just reinforce the soft soil underneath by pouring concrete there. 50 feet was well short of bedrock in that part of the island. And that shortcut proved disastrous. That building sits there, never to be occupied. Now imagine being part of that development team for one seaport. And let's just say after you made that decision to dig down only 50 feet, let's say, I don't know, maybe 6 months later, you find yourself in your local church and you're sitting there listening to a sermon and the preacher is going to preach on Luke 6, verses 46 to 49. That would hit differently to those developers. But here's the thing. Jesus isn't ultimately talking about a construction. He's talking about life, which means he's talking to every single one of us, developer or not, because each one of us is building a life, one brick, one decision at a time. Earlier, we said that obedience is the dividing line. It's what distinguishes the wise from the foolish. But we need to understand something very important, and that's this. Obedience itself is not the foundation. Please don't mistake obedience. Obedience itself is not the foundation. Obedience is the evidence of the foundation, of a true foundation. A true foundation, the true foundation we're talking about today, is a living relationship with Jesus. That's the foundation. A living relationship with Jesus. In other words, being in tune with Jesus. That is the foundation we're talking about in this passage. Being in tune with him. And without that, no matter how impressive the exterior looks, the structure will not stand straight. So what does that mean for us to be in tune with Jesus? Well, I want to make this very practical. Here's what it means, and I want to define what being in tune means. So take a look here. Here's our definition of being in tune with Jesus. Being in tune with Jesus means aligning our thoughts, actions, and desires with his, seeking to understand his will and live according to his teachings. Now, I'd like for us to say this together. This is our commitment to being in tune with Jesus. And so, let's go ahead and we'll put that back up there on the screen. Ready? Let's say this together. Ready? Go. Being in tune with Jesus means aligning our thoughts, actions, and desires with his, seeking to understand his will and live according to his teachings. Now, let's break this down a little bit. And we're going to talk about thoughts, actions, and desires. When we are in tune with Jesus, all three of these things, thoughts, actions, and desires, work together to build a solid foundation. Let's take, for example, thoughts. In Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2, we read these words. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his day, on his law, day and night. This timeless truth applied to the original Jewish audience who was devoted to God's standards. And it still applies to us today. Now today, as followers of Jesus Christ, you and I, we have the full counsel of God's word, both the Old and New Testaments. And the call remains the same for us today. Meditate on God's word day and night. Now, what does that not mean? Okay, that doesn't mean that we read the Bible every waking hour and do nothing else. That's not practical. We got to eat. We got to work. We got to be in community. So it's not saying that we must have the Bible open 24/7 locked in our room. Of course not. What it means is this. It means that whether we are working, studying, eating, exercising, relaxing, our thoughts are being shaped and guided by God's truth. That's what it means to meditate on his law day and night. Our thoughts are being shaped and guided by God's truth. His word is meant to be a constant fixture, a constant influence, forming how we think, forming how we live. And laying a deep foundation, it just takes time and it takes intentionality. But like anything else in life, the more we do it, the better we'll get at it, and the more it becomes a habit. All right, let's talk about habits. We know that habits are either good or bad. Right? Some habits are bad. They pull you down. But other habits, they're good. They build you up. And so, by definition, a habit is just simply a repeated behavior. That's a habit. Now, usually when I talk about hamburgers on Sundays, I usually talk about In-N-Out. But I want you to know that I don't only eat In-N-Out. I love the habit. I love the habit. And here's the thing about the habit and In-N-Out. Unlike a lot of other burger places, whenever I eat at the habit or In-N-Out, I leave feeling good. A lot of other places, I'll eat a burger at some other places, and I'll leave going, why did I do that? I feel sluggish, regretful, but whenever I have a Charburger at the habit, I walk out feeling good. What's for lunch today? In the same way, when we meditate on God's word, which is a good habit, it fuels our soul. It fuels our soul. And that's why regularly attending church with our church family, it's important. It's critical. Why? You know, when corporate worship becomes a regular rhythm of life, we don't have to wake up every Sunday asking ourselves, should I go to church today? It's a given. When it becomes a regular good habit and part of the very rhythm of our spiritual life, that's the one question I don't ever have to ask myself. Should I go today? It's already part of a healthy spiritual rhythm. And then from that rhythm, here's what happens. Our daily walk with Jesus grows stronger. We come, we get fueled, and we're ready for the week ahead. And it fuels us for our daily walk with Jesus. And it doesn't stop there. And then it causes us to want to grow in connection with other members of the church family. If you don't yet have a group, I encourage you, stop by, visit one of the tables today. Find a group. These three things, corporate worship, a daily walk with Jesus, and meaningful group connections, all three of those help align our thoughts with those of Jesus. But that's just the beginning. We're not only called to think like Jesus, we're called to act like Jesus. Being in tune with Jesus means more than just agreeing with his words. It means aligning our thoughts and our actions. Your presence here, it's the starting point. As we soak in the truth of God's word, then it motivates us to act on those words. You know, the two builders in today's passage, they both hear the same words. They both attend the same church. They both attend the same church service. They both nod in agreement with the preacher. And both even take the same notes. But in the end, their lives are very different. And that's the sobering truth behind today's passage. You see, because today's passage is not a contrast between somebody who outright rejects Jesus and someone who follows him. Today's passage is not a comparison between somebody who hates Jesus and who loves Jesus. Today's passage is between two people who look nearly identical from the outside. Both houses look good, but over time, the foundation, if it's not right, here's what will happen. Over time, cracks will begin to show. It's a guarantee. Over time, if the foundation is not solid, the cracks will begin to show. And here's how it shows. Little by little, weekly worship becomes less of a priority. And then little by little, the daily walk with Jesus weakens. And then little by little, we might find ourselves saying, well, I really don't need that group in my life. And you see, little by little over time, those cracks become bigger and bigger. And eventually, over time, the house will start to lean, not toward Jesus, but away from him. That's why James writes in his letter, in James 1, verse 22, he says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and then, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. The person who hears God's word but doesn't act on it is like somebody who looks in the mirror and then forgets his own reflection just minutes later. And so the question today is not so much, am I hearing the words of Jesus? The more important question is, am I building my life on them? Am I building my life on the words of Jesus? The wise builder doesn't just hear. The wise builder integrates the words of Jesus into their life, into their daily life every single day. And now I want to illustrate this using a compass. And so here's my compass app on my phone. Okay, if you can see that, tell me where the arrow is pointing north to. Where's Can you see? Is it so small? That red dot. Okay. Just kind of point. If you see the red dot, it's pointing that way. Okay, that way, right? Yeah, okay, it's that way. Even if I turn this way, it says that way. I love this thing. Now think about what a compass does. A compass, it gives us a fixed reference point. North is always north. Some people think north is the direction I'm driving. No. North is always north. It never changes. If you're in the woods and you're lost and you want to get out and you pull out your compass app and you know that in order to get out of the woods, you have to go south, you look at where north is and you walk the opposite way. God's word, it serves as our reference. It doesn't shift depending on how we're feeling or what direction we're headed in. It is fixed. God's word is absolute. It is always pointing us to God. Now, the Bible is not a GPS turn-by-turn system. And what I mean by that is this. The Bible won't tell you the name of the school you should attend or the name of the school you should send your kids to. The Bible won't tell you which career path to take. The Bible won't tell you the name of the person you should marry. But in every one of those decisions and every other decision in life, God's word offers wisdom and guidance and points you in the right direction. Before we can make any wise decisions in life, we must be rooted in the willingness to follow where Jesus leads. If we are committed to following Jesus, all the decisions of life will fall into place. I hope you find comfort in that. If we are committed to being rooted in Christ, every decision will fall into place. Again, the question isn't just simply, am I hearing the words of Jesus? It's, am I building my life on them? In today's story, the foolish person is like the one who goes to church, listens to the sermon, agrees with the preacher, even thinks it's a good idea to make some changes, and then come Monday, forgets all about it. You know what kind of life that is? That's a comfortable life. Go to church, get encouraged, get motivated, and come back next week. That's a comfortable life. It's also a complacent life. But it's not the life that God has called us to. Now, contentment in Christ is good. Spiritual complacency is not. Spiritual complacency is detrimental to our health. It'll stunt our growth, and eventually, here's what will happen. It'll eventually dull our faith. It will. Complacency, in fact, at times, complacency will lead us to look at someone else's house, i.e. life, and then say, you know, my house looks just like theirs. I must be okay. Let's not be like the one who looks at themselves in the mirror and then walks away and then forgets what they look like. Let's align our thoughts and our actions with those of Jesus. And here's the good news. Here's the good news in this passage. The more we align our thoughts and our actions with those of Jesus, the more our desires begin to reflect His. Remember, being in tune with Jesus is aligning our thoughts, actions, and desires. The good thing is if we focus on our thoughts and actions, the desires will follow. Because the reality is, no matter what, it's hard to control feelings and desires. But if we focus on our thoughts and the actions, the desires portion naturally follows. And that is why in Psalm 37, verse 4, it says this: "Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." We're not called to force ourselves to desire certain things. Take delight in the Lord, and then he will give you the desires of your heart. You see, this isn't a guarantee that God is going to somehow fulfill every fleeting wish of ours. No. It's a promise that as we grow closer to him, our hearts will be shaped to desire what he desires for us. Again, as we grow closer to him, our hearts will be shaped to desire what he desires for us. A clear example of spiritual maturity is when I see in my own life and in the lives of those around me, those who desire the things of God. And what happens is, even how we talk changes. Our life's pursuits, they change. Our outlook on life changes. The more we think about God, the more we act on what we know, our desires will follow. And the more we grow, the more you will desire things that are good, righteous, and pleasing to him. And that is when, my friends, we will find true joy, peace, and fulfillment. Even when the storms come, and they will come. If you're not facing a storm in your life right now, it's coming. It's not a threat, it's just a fact. It's coming. Maybe some of you are in a storm right now. Maybe some of you are coming out of the storm. Praise God that you're coming out of that storm, because that means that your foundation was solid. You're unshakable, immovable. And that's because your foundation piles are 150 feet deep. Nothing's going to move us. And with that, we bring our series, Questions Jesus Asked, to a close. I hope you'll join us next Sunday as we begin a brand new 6-week series called Discipleship in Every Season. For 6 weeks, we'll explore how discipleship looks and how it plays out across the various stages of life, from childhood to adolescence to the young adult stage in life to career and family, and then on to the empty nesting and retirement season of life. I hope to see you here next week. No matter where you are in your season of life right now, discipleship is what God has called us to. So see you back here next Sunday. Let's bow together. Father, my prayer for myself and for my friends is, after we've heard your message here in Luke 6, that we would walk away desiring to align our thoughts and actions with those of Jesus, and our desires, they will just follow. Help us, Lord, to be like the wise builder who patiently dug deep, building our lives one brick at a time, faithful to your word faithful to putting those words into our lives, faithful to being part of a growing community. Encourage us, Lord, this week. Help us not to quickly forget your word. Help us not to be like the one who looks in the mirror and walks away and forgets. Help us to remember what you taught us today. Thank you for Jesus. Help us to live like him and love like him and be like him. We pray all these things in his precious name. Amen.